Okay. Ooh. So we'll move on now to Miss Voice of an Angel.
What am I doing here tonight? Tonight's the dance. This dorky guy asked me for my English class. He said, "Hey, Mary, wanna go?" And I was like, "Ugh, no, I got other plans." First of all, I didn't want to go with him. Second, my favorite actress is hosting a chat room at Yahoo tonight, and I had to see it. But now the chat is over, and I'm sitting here alone. I am in my house on the stupid computer because I don't have the guts to call anyone. Or maybe I'm just too lazy. BRB, LOL. Sometimes I almost say these things out loud, and it's not only that. My life has gone completely downhill ever since I broke my arm. That's when I got into this whole thing, after I stopped hanging out with the girls from softball. So now, this is how it is every night. And those nights form each weekend. Because I met all of these people, and now I feel weird if I don't, like, hang out with them on the weekends. But it's stupid because I can't even see them. I am so damn lonely, but I compensate with net pals and e-friends. I find myself on the internet in those chat room things, those damn impersonal talk sessions with people who either can't go out or just prefer to remain anonymous. Type, 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 and listen to my fingers as they click and talk for me. Don't have to look pretty for anyone. Don't even have to put expression in your voice. Everything is that way for me these days. I have nowhere else to go at night except Yahoo Chat, and we can all pretend to have lives. E-lives. Then we can make up stupid slang words with the word E in front of them. High tech. I need to get out more. Life would certainly be more lively if I went somewhere at night instead of watching my nails grow at the computer that is taking over my life.
Miss Voice of an Angel, I have to say, I'm very pleased tonight. This is the fourth good emotional performance I've heard in a row. I heard the disgust over this guy asking you, the wistfulness over being alone after having decided to opt out of the dance, some general whininess throughout. There's an awful lot of very good stuff here emotionally. It all comes to form a very good emotional palette, there's a real person that we're hearing in this monologue. I don't know that I have an awful lot of details to point out because I think you've pretty much got this one. Meredy?
Yeah, I think on the whole you did a very nice job. This monologue, out of actually all the ones that we listed, at least for the females, I remember, I thought this one was both, and this one's a little interesting because it's both easy and difficult in that it's, I think, something that a lot of us that are listening in right now can relate to, given how much time a lot of us spend online. So it takes a little extra, If you don't sell it, we'll know, if that makes any sense. But that being said, I think you really understood the piece and you did a good job of portraying the feelings in the monologue. I think there are a few times where you felt a little passive. Mostly it came from that one sentence where he said, "You're so damn lonely." I wanted to hear a little more punch on that, a little more emphasis on that feeling, because it is feelings of loneliness just kind of take you over sometimes and really can become painful. And I think that would create a whole new, a more emotional variation in the lines that follow. It ends very well, especially after the "I need to get out more," that whining frustration of "I need to go out more and just get away from this computer" was great. So I think on the whole, that was a very nice job. I agree.
Okay.
Cool.
Then let's move on next to Leave Me Alone.
I sold her a ticket that night. I only recognized her because we'd played Foursquare together once. She'd introduced herself. I don't really remember anything we said, but she seemed sweet. I didn't know her last name until I saw the article in the paper. It said that she was a sophomore and a journalism major. She was from Joliet. She had a younger sister in high school named Carolyn. I don't know why I remember everything in that article. Her picture, it was in black and white and right under the IDE in suicide. I don't know why I'm telling you this. The picture was small. It didn't look like a school picture. It looked more like a candid shot. She was sort of smiling, but she looked somehow suspicious. I have a strangely vivid memory of her face. That night, she seemed fine, friendly, and smiling. I couldn't have done anything different, and I couldn't have known what she was feeling. But then, I didn't ask, did I? I just never knew anyone who died.
Go.
Leave me alone. I see here you used one of the monologues from the male portion, but this is, I mean, actually glad that you picked this one, because there's a lot of the female monologues that we picked that we're just all kind of stereotypical female. So it's nice to see someone. It's nice to see you picking this kind of. Nice to see you pick this one. I was hoping somebody would do it. That's all I was trying to say. Anyway. My God, I talk. I babble way too much. Surprised anybody still listens to the show. Okay. This was an interesting monologue in that you had a lot of emotional changes, but they were all very subtle. You had one overlying feeling, which was that kind of, cold regret, very quiet nature of reflecting on what's happened, but it changed in different ways that you were thinking about the newspaper article and thinking about when you first saw the girl and thinking about things afterwards. So it was very nice. I would like you to push that subtlety and make it a little more distinct. I think there's some places where you could really express even more, those feelings of regret or feelings of, helplessness or whatever, you know, emotions you may be going for. There was one spot that was a little odd to me. It was, you said, I don't know why I'm telling you this. You had a great buildup of emotion. I could feel you getting a little choked up. Like, I don't know why. And then you suddenly cut to a description of the picture, which felt very, I don't know, clinical, analytical, and statement of fact, which just, it, there was no build down, I guess, from your previous emotion. So it stuck for me off guard. And very nice expression at the end. And again, just don't be afraid to express even more. Russ?
Yes, you had a very nice emotional sense overall. I could tell, even without knowing the monologue, it was very obvious from the tone that there was a disaster you were going to tell us about. Maybe not necessarily suicide, but certainly something very bad had happened, and that was obvious. The problem I had was that, as Meredith said, your emotional changes were very subtle, and it would have been nice to hear more. On the line, I don't know why I'm telling you, I think it's important to note that while the character may not know, But you as the actress have to know. You have to have something that's going to make the story you're telling more interesting. So possibly you might have a sense of guilt. And that could come out at some point as a much stronger emotion, as something that doesn't really necessarily work from the words, but it's something that's underlining, something that's bubbling up inside of you that will give us not only a change, but also a lot more power in it. If I go take a look, I should be looking at the words while I was saying it. Since you might feel guilty when you say, she seemed fine, and I couldn't have done anything different. There's an opportunity to play more with that. Justifying yourself. So you don't believe. The idea is that as the character does not completely believe that she's blameless. And you could make these stronger. I couldn't have done anything different. Trying to convince yourself. That's just an opportunity that for more that you could have done with this. Overall, though, it was a very nice job.
What? And who do we have next?
And we have Skywish next.
Oh. Dad, it's been a long time since I saw you or talked to you. I think it's because the last time I saw you, you didn't know who I was. You smiled and asked if I could get some orange juice for you. You laughed at my confusion. You called me nurse. And I may have been your nurse when I was a little girl, when you used to sit in your recliner and watch Happy Days, smiling at all the characters on the television, but still remembering your daughter. You would kid with me about my play costume. You would ask me for orange juice, saying you had a tummy ache. And even if I spilt the orange juice in the kitchen, you would come help me clean it up, both of us bending down with Mom's rags and scrubbing and laughing all at once. You made everything so fun, Dad. And I don't know why the world did this to you. I just hope you're happy still. Even if you can't remember who you are or who your wife is. I hope you can read this letter too, Dad. Because I know your eyesight is failing you. I love you so much, Dad. I want you to know that. These 37 years would not be complete without you. You walked me down the aisle. You cried with me when Grandma died. I wasn't afraid to be myself with you, Dad. But now it doesn't matter who I am at all to you. But it's not your fault. Mom isn't doing too well with this. She calls me up sometimes at 3 a.m, pleading to me, why aren't you lying beside her anymore? And I try to comfort her, saying, he still loves you, Mom, he still does. Because if you didn't have Alzheimer's, you would be in her bed instead of this nursing home. And you two would be cuddling and cooing like you always had for the past 41 years, like you always had. But she's sleeping alone now, Dad, and she's not doing too good. Her arthritis is bothering her. And she's a lot more susceptible to everything now that you're gone. But I won't dwell on everything that's negative, Dad. It would just wreck all that was positive with you in my entire existence. I'll see you up in heaven someday. We can talk about our lives and remember everything up there, Dad. We'll be so happy. Love, Lena.
Skywish, this was really, really powerfully done. You got a very nice sense of memories that you conveyed, wistfulness and pain. Even, again, without listening, without knowing the monologue in advance, it was very obvious that what was going on. I could just imagine you talking at your father's bedside as you did this. It was, I mean, there was a clear person there. You did very nicely with not only the emotional sense, but also what we had talked about in the previous challenge. In fact, I would say this was good enough. So that I want to just say, okay, yeah, now there's some even more things that you could do just to add top of it. You know, this is the director in me says, oh, you could do this. You can even be better. So, for example, when you get to, now it doesn't matter who I am. I thought, oh, you could use this as an opportunity for a cry of pain. And it sounded like you almost wanted to start crying when you said a lot more is susceptible about talking about your mother. And I wanted you to try that. But, you know, this is me getting really, really picky because this was just really well done. Meredy?
I completely agree. To add what Russ said, I knew this monologue was in there, but I didn't remember all the details. So I didn't realize that it was a letter until you got to the end. It sounded very much like it was spoken or being, you know, a reflection, something somebody is reflecting about, which was just fantastic. Emotional pain that you had was very clear and very moving. There are times where I think it feels like you get a little breathless. And I heard it a little bit in the last challenge. I'm hearing it a bit more in this one, and just be careful not to go overboard with it. I'm sorry, I don't have sections to point out, but it seems to be a trait that goes with whenever you get really emotionally charged, you become breathless, and just be careful to not to do that all the time, or else it becomes noticeable and tiring to the ears a little bit. I'm wondering, and I'm getting nitpicky too, but because we can, so I'm going to be. I'm curious as how your character feels about the pain of dealing with her mom, because I hear all of the emotional pain with dealing with the father and his illness of Alzheimer's. But I hear the issues with mom more as reporting what's going on. And I think you could push the envelope a little more on those if you want. Ending was beautiful as a person who whose grandmother is... died of Alzheimer's. I really connected with your piece, and it almost brought me to tears at some point. So very, very, very well done. All right, who do we have next?
Okay, now we are on to the guys.